But the senator, while indoctrinated, could not explain his toxicity.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Honey Badger Radio. My name is Brian. How you guys doing? I'm appearing on camera today, and it's just me, but I'm bringing you guys a very special treat. Beautiful. It's just something I can't keep to myself. So pardon me if I won't be making a lot of eye contact because I'm looking at my screen. It's below the camera. I'm going to be looking at an amazing Twitter thread by a Twitter user named Gwen Snyder, at Gwen Snyder PHL. Somehow I haven't been blocked by this person. I don't know how that is. Her current, I don't know what you call it on Twitter, when you got like your at, you know, identity, and then you have like your name that you can change at will. But Gwen Snyder is uncivil. She is definitely a feminist. And she's got a great Twitter thread that I think we should dig into just for the fun of it. I am alone on this one. So, you know, this is the reason why it's on time, because I'm by myself and I'm not having any technical issues. But we'll just make this a community thing. You guys participate in this with me, and we'll go through it and have a good time. So thanks for coming on. Be sure to hit that like button before we get started so that maybe we can get a couple more people to join in and just go down this rabbit hole that was made by one person. If anything, I think that this Twitter handle, there needs to be a meme made. You know, I don't know the name of the character, but it's like Always Sunny, and the guy with he's like doing the conspiracy thing, and he's got all the threads and the crazy expression. This person, it's gloriously insane. So we're going to go into it. So who is Gwen Snyder? Never heard of her before today. But her name is Gwen Snyder is Uncivil on Twitter. That's at Gwen Snyder PHL. She is a West Philly social justice warrior. So she calls herself an SJW, unironically, researching radical white supremacy. Might literally be the worst person in the city, according to somebody she's quoting named Billy Ciancagellini. I'm not really sure. Her pronouns are she, her. And apparently she has another, I'm not going to get all into her, too deep into her feed. There is a fan, she has a fan in Jared Holt. So you can see kind of like where she's coming from, all right? So how do I know about this? Somebody tagged me in a Twitter thread that she started. I never heard of this person before. And I know the men's movement has pretty much nothing to do with racial politics, racial superiority or whatever. Men's issues transcend race. The race thing, in my opinion, and I think the opinion of many people, is nothing but a distraction from the male issues. The male issues are the only ones that matter. The gender problem is the real problem. But let's go into her threat. So remember, she specializes in white supremacy, okay? All right, so first tweet. We need to talk about the alt-right proper versus Bannon's alt-right. Alt-right proper is relatively organic movement of pseudo-intellectual young Nazis, Richard Spencer, V. Dare, etc. I don't know who V. Dare is. Bannon's alt-right is a shotgun marriage between new misogynists and white nationalists. New misogynists is spelled N-U misogynist, kind of like new metal. So basically, new misogynists are like the Disturbed or the Slipknot of old misogynists, which were like Iron Maiden, I guess, and white nationalists. Okay, so how did she arrive at this conclusion? I guess she's going to explain later. New misogynists were already pretty effectively cross-pollinating. Gamergate was an organic new misogynist movement that had put cross-pollination into overdrive. Bannon, via Milo, used that emergent moment to inject explicit white nationalism into the conversation. So apparently, Bannon, she's talking about Steve Bannon, I haven't heard from that guy in literally like at least a year or more. So I don't know what he's been up to. I don't know. The last time I saw anything dealing with Steve Bannon was Sargon did an interview with him on Sargon Channel. And they talked and he seemed completely like normal. I don't know what his beliefs are. I don't know what his politics are. I don't frankly care. I don't think it's important. But, you know, she's already doing the whole guilt by association thing. So we will look at this image that she's sharing. She's got this Venn diagram. I'll open it in the new tab and we'll take a look here. All right. So we got, oh, it's big. It's very big. Okay. So we got in one circle, the manosphere. This is under her new misogyny model. Okay. Theory of white male economic social disenfranchisement by feminism. Yeah, I think that's true. I don't know if I don't think the whole manosphere is on board with the narrative, though. I think they have differing philosophies and differing goals. But in terms of like the base theory of except for the race part, it's not white men, it's just men. But feminists know they can poison the well by adding white to it, and that will make most people just be turned off. Like, essentially, the idea is to divide men along the lines of race so that non-white men see the manosphere. And when feminists say this is a group of white men, the non-white men who are just now hearing about it assume that there must be racism involved too. It's just poisoning the well. It's the same thing that Michael Kimmel did when he was in the Red Pill, and he said something like, can we compare the modern men's movement to the white nationalist movement? He literally said that. And here she is doing that thing. Here she is doing that thing. So, but is there a history of economic and social disenfranchisement as a result of feminism? Yeah, there is. It doesn't mean that men are the real victims. It doesn't mean that you're playing the victim politics. It just means that men have issues. Some of them are structural, institutional. Many of them are cultural or legal, and that they should be addressed thusly. They're real. That's it. It's not about victim politics. Gamer culture. We're going to go to the next sphere here. Overwhelmingly male environment with strong current of objectification of women. So gamers objectify women, therefore they're bad. This is gamer culture. This is such a ridiculous. Can you imagine believing that gamer culture itself is some kind of like monolith? It may as well be a culture of anything else. Science fiction reading culture, you know, movie culture, foodie culture. You can't square this circle. It's ridiculous. But this is what she's using. This is the way her brain works. And then pickup artistry. Weird. She separates pickup artistry from the manosphere. That's weird. Because PUAs are a part of the manosphere. They just have their own approach. Strange. Strategies for manipulating women's insecurities for sex based on theory of feminine vanity and shallowness. But it works, though. And I'm not saying that women are shallow. But if what pickup artists use are effective and they work on women, are you not insulting women? I think that she is, because I looked into Gwen Snyder a little bit more, and you know, she is a political she's a political lesbian. So she thinks that women should not like men because she doesn't like men. So yeah, anyway, pickup artistry separate from the manosphere and uses female I guess insecurities to get laid, because women never make choices to sleep with men. They don't actually have any agency. When guys try to pick them up, buy them a drink, they peacock, whatever, that women don't respond to that. It's just like mind control. That's what pickup artists actually have. It's mind control. They do gaslighting. That's basically how they get women into bed with them. Also, they hate women at the same time somehow. All right. So where do these overlap? We'll start with the manosphere and gamer culture. It overlaps with Gamergate, resentment of supposed sexual manipulation of gamer journalism by women. So first she says supposed. We know it's true. We know that Gamergate has, at the very least, made people aware that there is a strong ideological, political motivation behind many of the people who work in journalism in games. But it's not just games journalism, it's just journalism across the board. So now the overlap between gamer culture and pickup artistry, cool girlism, expectation of women's receptiveness to sexual harassment and objectification in gaming spaces. So essentially, men in gaming spaces that also happen to be pickup artists, I suppose, they manipulate women into trying to be cool to attract men with their nerdiness. Essentially, ethots are a result of cool girlism. They're not making their own minds up. They're not making decisions based on their own desires. When they take home $10,000 donations on Twitch for literally just sitting there and being women online, that is a result of misogyny against women and objectification. Okay. Now the overlap between pickup artistry and manosphere. Incels, theory of beta male sexual disenfranchisement. Okay, so incels are also POAs. So guys who use game to pick up women, take them home and sleep with them, not only do they gaslight, manipulate, and take advantage of women's insecurities, but they actually don't get laid either. Somehow. Anyway, I'm going to look at your, and then where all of those things overlap is her idea of new misogyny, like new metal. So I'm going to look at your comments, and we're going to continue on to her thread. This is just like the second post, okay? This could take a little while. The Great Indoors gives us €2 and says, "No, don't step on Ven." Oh, okay. Black Knight Fool gives us $5 and says, Canadian, that is, "Brian, for them, the inference is simply it's male-dominated masculinity, therefore Nazism. They just pick things to try and make the narrative fit." Absolutely, but the thing is, if you can tie more and more strongly emotionally charged terms to masculinity, you can essentially like get more people against masculinity. So that's like the point. I get that. She's poisoning the well, but I honestly believe that she legitimately believes it. This isn't just a tactic. I've seen some debates with leftists and progressives. When I say that, I guess I mean progressives, but it's whatever, that really descend into, you know, Nazis are real and they're MRAs and they're white nationalists and all of it's the same thing, you know. Incel, white nationalist, gamer gator, Nazi, etc. It's just a matter of like, we'll just change the language for when we need it, you know. So they don't call them MRAs anymore, they just call us Nazis now. But they're still referring to MRAs. All right, next post. "There are some pretty telling just pre-2016 election emails where Milo and Bannon pretty explicitly scheme with folks like the Daily Stormer's founder about how they're going to introduce all Milo's new Gamergate friends to Bannon's pet white nationalists." And then there's an article from BuzzFeed News entitled "Here's How Breitbart and Milo Smuggled Nazi and White Nationalist Identitarians," I guess. Whatever. I mean, I don't know anything about it. I have my doubts. I mean, Milo, the alt-right are pretty critical of Jews, and they also don't like what they call essentially basic bitch conservatives or cuck conservatives, cuckservatives. And what else do they say about them? There's another thing that they say, but they don't like Milo at all. So I don't think that was going on, but you know, people like Gwen and Jared Holt, they don't know, they don't understand that nuance. They don't know those differences. So gamer culture has pretty consistently had a reputation for casual racism. Manospherists latched onto weird genetic determinist theories half a goose step from eugenics a while back. PUA systems of sexual valuation have always been pretty radicalized. But from all the research, outright Nazism was pretty fringe for new misogynists until Bannon and Milo realized they were a community ripe for white supremacist radicalization. Wow. Casual racism. I don't know what that means. Gamer culture is actually quite packed with people that are non-white that play games, and also women. So again, this woman's, I can't even respond to these ramblings because they're insane and there's no arguments here. It's just, yeah. Oh, Manosphere is latching onto weird genetic determinist theories. Basically saying that women are a certain way in general, and saying men are a certain way in general is, in her mind, eugenics. Women have babies. Men have penises and scrotums. That's eugenics, guys. Women tend, and it's weird because if there's anyone that has any eugenic power, anyone who has like a great deal of ability to affect the future of our species with sexual selection, it's women. So like, what are you arguing for? And this is okay. I'm not saying this is bad. Like, it just is. That's the way the world is. It's always been that way. You know, what really isn't a defining feature of the alt-right proper, Richard Spencer, etc., prior to 2015, or even organized white supremacy from 1995 to 2015, a taste for accelerationist mass murder sprees, a la El Paso. New misogyny, though? There's a reason gamer culture took such glee in videos of players mowing down prostitutes in-game when Grand Theft Auto provided the option. There's a reason Grand Theft Auto offered the option. Rockstar is part of the new misogyny movement. Rockstar Games, the company that made, they made the Red Dead Redemption 2, which essentially engaged in revisionist history regarding the suffrage movement. That company. Really? This woman is ridiculous. This is a ridiculous assertion to make. And to be, if you guys don't know, in Red Dead Redemption 2, there are suffragettes, right? And there's one that's actually like a mission that you do where you help the suffragettes. And then there's another instance where there is a suffragette on the corner and she's just talking, and you can, if you want, you can kill her. You can, just like anybody else, you can kill her. You could, you know, there's a guy who put videos out of all that. But the story that they did with the mission regarding the suffragette, first of all, if you kill that suffragette, no matter if anyone is around, it's considered a terrible crime. Right off the bat. So this should inform you that Rockstar isn't exactly facilitating that behavior. They're just allowing the freedom. But on the other hand, if you kill a KKK guy, there are no consequences for that. So murder just doesn't count the same way. Which, I'm not making a judgment on that. I'm simply using this to give an example of how it's ridiculous to assert that Rockstar is somehow a part of new misogyny, just because they allow you to kill women in their games. But this is what she is saying, right? The fact that you can kill anyone in the game is a problem because it includes women. And they put that in the game when they really shouldn't have, okay? But also in the story for the suffragette movement, the arguments that they were making in the story with the mission itself doesn't make sense, because it's actually like completely, it's putting it in a modern lens where it wouldn't make sense. Now, if you were satirizing the Old West with that, it would be fine as long as it was consistent, but it's not. So they actually, Rockstar is trying to tell you that the people who were against suffrage in their mission in the game is actually men that were against it. But if you look at the history and you look at the data, the majority of the people that were against suffrage were other women. But they never show that, ever. Because they know they either didn't bother doing the research and they just didn't care, which is likely. It's possible, or they know better, but they don't think it's convenient, and so they didn't put it in. And I think that it's probably even more likely that the latter was the one that they went with. Anyway, so it's ridiculous to assert that. And the only reason why people find the killing of prostitutes funny in a Grand Theft Auto game or any sort of open world sandbox game is because it kind of makes people uncomfortable, and that's why they laugh. Have you guys ever heard, I think it's on 4chan, maybe. They have this, or it might be Reddit, I'm not sure. There's a board called I'm Going to Hell for This, and it's a whole bunch of really funny stuff that's really, really like edgy or uncomfortable. And that's the reason, like, we laugh at things that make us uncomfortable. You know, that's why racist jokes are funny, for example, or sexist jokes. It doesn't mean that you're okay with that stuff. It means that you just find it funny. All right. Zarynx gives us $5 and says, these people are so concerned over GTA, they'd find enlightenment in Saints Row. I never played Saints Row, but isn't that like even worse in terms of its absurdity? But anyway. All right. So let's keep going. So she's trying to make the veiled accusation against Grand Theft Auto. By the way, that's not going to work out for her. That franchise is too popular with men and women. That reason stems from the same impulse that prompts so many members of the manosphere to engage in murder fantasy and pro-rape advocacy. The same impulse that inspires pickup artists like Rouge V to advocate coercive domination of women. Well, Rouge V is a PUA. I don't know what his views are. I know that there's like certain things that he's written that people, that feminists often cite to say, look, this is what the manosphere is about. But I have my doubts that he really meant any of that. I don't know, though. So I won't speak for him, but it's not a men's issue. Whatever Rouge V said, he doesn't like MRAs. He criticizes us all the time. He's basically gone full trad cuck anyway, so I don't really care. But whatever. She doesn't care about that. She's just going to like link things. She just wants to link the manosphere with whatever she can get her hands on. So that impulse is one of virulent, violent misogyny. And it's the impulse that inspired incel, mass murderer, perfect gentleman, E. Roger. We know who she's talking about. Elliot Rogers' rage-fueled Isla Vista killing spree in Isla Vista in 2014. It is absolutely not. You're absolutely wrong about that. Elliot Roger, the only page he followed was the only part of the manosphere he may have been on was a place called PUA Hate, which was essentially a bunch of really angry dudes that didn't like PUAs because they felt that PUAs were too successful. I'm not going to say they're incels because I don't know, and I don't think it's appropriate. But PUA Hate is its own animal. On top of that, Elliot Roger followed the Young Turks on YouTube, and he was abused by his stepmother, and his father was not around. He was a Hollywood producer that wasn't present in his life, and his stepmother was very abusive to him. And despite all that, you know, he's a half Asian, so that's got nothing to do with whiteness. He was like half Japanese or something. And he killed more men than women when he went on his killing spree. So the Elliot Roger thing, I can't understand why this keeps coming up. You know, he was clearly a damaged individual. And and he died at the end, like he killed himself. But you know, whatever. This is what misogyny does, I guess. So, again, new misogynist community was never exactly anti-racist, particularly the manosphere, but purely hate-rooted of the movements. Again, new misogynist community. Her English is bad. She must be an academic. New misogynist community was never exactly anti-racist. So apparently if you're not overtly anti-racist, then you're part of the problem when it comes to the race discussion. This is the reason why, and I just want to point this out because I've been seeing this a lot lately with intersectional feminist types. They proclaim that if you aren't going out of your way to be anti-racist, then you must be racist. So this is like what I've been talking about for a while now, which is this idea that if you're passively okay with something, but you're not like advocating for it loudly, that it used to be that the goal was, okay, I just don't want you to single me out and go out of your way to harass, abuse, or oppress me based on my whatever immutable characteristics, like my race, my gender, whatever, you know, my sexuality. It used to be that the goal of people who were advocates was that they just didn't want to be oppressed. They just wanted to be left to their own devices to build, be the master of their own destiny, right? That's what the gay movement was about. That's what the civil rights movement was about, like all of these other ones. But now we've gotten to the point where that's not enough. People don't want to be like these people are not advocating to be left alone. They are advocating for other people to go out of their way to support them. That's what has happened to lots of these human rights movements, with the exception, I think, of the men's movement. Because I haven't seen, I mean, there might be some nut job out there claiming that people have to come out and overtly support men. I would be absolutely against it. I find it to be absolute cringe and, you know, just insane. But this person is advocating for you to basically, if she doesn't see that you're going out of your way to either flagellate yourself because you're white or attack other people because they're white and like fight racism wherever you find it, then you must be a part of the problem. And that's what she, when they say anti-racist, when they say this community is never exactly anti-racist, that's what they're saying. Saying they haven't gone out of their way, because I can tell you, I have never seen in my time with the men's movement doing videos and helping out with conferences and so on, I have never seen anything dealing with race at all. Is there a majority of white people in the movement? Yeah, sure. But I mean, there's a majority of white people in the United States. So it's not, that's got nothing to do with it. You know, I mean, it's irrelevant. The race thing is so irrelevant. And in fact, and I've said this before, I think that that progressives use the race thing to divide the men's movement along the lines of race. They divide, they set men against men, men of different colors against men of other colors. But the fact is, male issues, they transcend race. They're beyond that. So anyway, so particularly the Manosphere, which is the most purely hate rooted of the movement's three regions. Communities of hate are rooted in resentment. The scapegoat is just an explanation of whatever it is they resent. I'm going to make a prediction here. She's saying the scapegoat is feminism, and she's going to say that it's unfair and that feminists care about men, but they just want them to stop being like men. It's not hard to inject new hatreds onto them because they're comprised of folks fixated on naming simple external reasons for their suffering. The identity of the scapegoat matters less than the simple externalization that they allow. Unless it conflicts with their existing ideology or overlaps with most members' identities, violently hateful communities are unlikely to pass up an additional scapegoat. A good chunk of new misogynists were only too happy to add blacks, immigrants, and Jews to their hate list. What are you talking about? I have never heard this. Well, I mean, I know where she's coming from. I know that because she basically says new misogynists consists of, and I want you guys to think about this, okay? Pickup artists, Manosphere men, and Gamergate, gamers. Okay, so gamers, Manosphere men or Red Pill men or whatever you want to call it, and PUAs, they add blacks, immigrants, and Jews to the hate list. Where the hell does that come from? This is absolutely insane ramblings at this point. I have never heard this before. I mean, there, like I said, are there alt-right guys that have come out of one of these groups? Perhaps. I mean, maybe. I think that it's a little bit of a stretch to say that because there are alt-righters that play video games, that they're a part of that, you know, culture. Like, they're not endemic of anything, of anything. I think that members of the alt-right do have a problem wrestling with their own gynocentrism and their own masculine identity, just like the progressives, just like Antifa members, just like male feminists do. I think that they struggle with that. I think that that's something that they're fighting against. And I think that they would likely benefit from the knowledge about, you know, what dynamics are actually at work here. It's the gender dynamics. It really is. But they don't see that. But all this Gwen Snyder is doing is she's contributing to this cycle of blaming everything except what needs to be blamed. So the post-Gamergate flood of nihilist, pro-terror, new misogynists into Bannon and Milo's millennial white supremacy. Millennial white supremacy? So the millennials are the whites, are they the problem? Okay. Milo's millennial white supremacy is evidenced in the tonal and linguistic shift that occurred in that community at the time. But you said that they were always bad. So how was there a tonal and linguistic shift? Maybe she'll explain. With the Isla Vista spree, lone wolf mass murder fantasy and planning really crystallized as a defining trait of black-pilled incel community. Its members talked about the murderer as a saint, discussed high scores, a gamer culture inflected term, a gamer culture inflected term for kill counts. No, kill counts is actually a term for kill counts. High scores is not something that we'll really use that much because we don't have scores in video games anymore. I'm sorry for being so pedantic. Yeah, maybe you should think about the fact that any person, because, you know, Alec Manassian, guy who drove a truck through Toronto and killed several people, men and women, he is a person who claims to have praised Elliot Rodger. And we went through the interview that he had after the police arrested him. And that guy was literally like, his brain was broken. Something was wrong with that person. Okay. Again, not endemic of the culture. The fact that he was an incel, I don't think is the problem. I think that his psychological problems are the reason he was an incel, if that makes sense. Okay. And it's also the reason why he had such a misanthropic worldview. It wasn't like a hatred of women. It was a hatred of the world, okay? He is essentially, when people make the "we live in a society" meme, that's the guy. That guy is the embodiment and personification of the consequences of that meme. But that is not, like, incels don't make mass murderers. It just doesn't happen that way. Jack Daniels gives me $1.99 in euros and gives me a thumbs up. Thank you, Jack Daniels. All right. During and after Gamergate, these murder strategy discussions started popping up in online white supremacist communities, particularly 8chan, a forum created for folks too overtly terroristic, pedophilic, and or violently misogynist for even 4chan's high threshold. Wow. Wasn't 8chan started by like a disabled guy? Hot Wheels? Isn't he the guy that started 8chan? He was like in a wheelchair, and do you guys remember? I think that that's a really good example of what I'm talking about. Like, if it's Hot Wheels that started it, that dude is a good example of what most incels are probably like, something along those lines in some form or another. So, as far as the terrorism goes, I think you might be pointing the finger in the wrong direction. Also the pedophiles, you might want to turn that gaze inward and think about who's advocating for pedophilia right now. It's not 8chan, to my knowledge. It's certainly not gamers, manosphere guys, or incels. Or I'm sorry, PUAs. That's not happening. So you might want to think about that. And apparently she thinks that 4chan is highly misogynistic already. Again, I don't know. It's just whatever. So, black-pilled. Wait, I missed something. I accidentally scrolled too far. Black-pilled became a general term for nihilistically anti-woke extremists who believe only mass terror would wake up the sleeping masses. No, Black pill just means that you've given up, basically. You just think that we're it's the end times for our civilization and all is lost. I don't think it means that you need to commit acts of mass terror. Again, there might be some, but whatever. She's all about the fear-mongering, so. In Minecraft became the gamer-inflected no-homo-style tag on to in-depth terror plans shared online. Oh, I see what you mean. So if somebody says, I want to murder all those people in Minecraft, it's like a way of saying no-homo, but for murdering people. You mean like how Hassan Piker has said, I would kill all of these like landlords or business owners or capitalists or Republicans or conservatives or MRAs in a video game? Is that what you mean? Like that? The only people that I've seen that have like that much hatred inside of them have been your people, including you, actually. I have seen, like, you can tell when someone is full of hate. You can tell by the way that they answer questions, by the way they talk. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but not related to men's issues, but giving you a good example. There was a debate hosted on PSA Stitch's channel like earlier. I think it was over the weekend with Carl Benjamin Sargon and what's that guy's name? Vaush? And they were talking about, supposedly it was about capitalism versus socialism, but I've seen Vaush in other debates, okay? And Destiny, for example, and Hassan Piker. And those three, even though they may be, I mean, Hassan isn't really, but even though some of them can be quite articulate with their words, and they tend to be good with the word salad and stuff like that, and they don't necessarily like completely lose it, you can see the seething hatred under the surface. It is very obvious in the tone, in the way they make arguments, in the way they take jabs. Hell, Echoplex Media had a bunch of hatred for me when I had him on the show. I could see it. He was so, he could not stand that I existed. And I bet the fact that I wasn't white made it even harder for him. Anyway, that's where I see all the hatred coming from. I've seen Vaush and Hassan legitimately say that they want to murder a portion of the population. I actually remember Destiny saying that he wanted to kill all Republicans or something like that, or deport them or something. Something that would require force to do, which is essentially violence. So, all right. I think somebody, did I get another super chat? No, I didn't. Milo's friend, Anglin, at Daily Stormer, gleefully encouraged Gamergate-driven millennial influx in its viciousness and taste for extreme violence. Less than a year later, Daily Stormer reader Dr. Somebody, I don't know who that is, would kick off the era of white supremacist accelerationist murder in Charleston. Well, isn't the Daily Stormer gone? I think they took that website down. So who cares? And also, just because, this is another thing that I don't get. Leftists let far right, or I don't want to say far right, leftists let their enemies, like the KKK, David Duke, you know, Andrew Anglin, whatever, they let those people who they hate have so much power over them. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, they actually can, if I was David Duke, okay, if I was, I would be able to manipulate the left into doing whatever I wanted by simply exercising my freedom of speech. And I'll explain how. So there was an article I saw like last week or something. And I think it was Tulsi Gabbard endorsed by David Duke. So David Duke endorses Tulsi Gabbard, right? And of course the news went crazy and they jumped all over it, the media. And a lot of people in the comments that were supporter, like left-wing people in the comments, were all upset that Tulsi Gabbard would, like, they were mad at Tulsi for David Duke supporting her, or supposedly supporting her, in this, according to this article, right, that he essentially like expressed support for her. And so there were a bunch of people saying, well, they're not going to vote for her anymore. Okay, now We know that Tulsi Gabbard is like, just because a Klansman supports you or follows you or likes a comment that you made or says something nice about you, it doesn't mean that you subscribe to their views. But progressives are so stupid and so easily manipulated that if one of them does do that, if David Duke says, yeah, I support Tulsi Gabbard, I think that she's a good woman, I think she's going to make the country better, then that's all he has to do. So let's say he knew that Tulsi Gabbard was somebody that had the best chance of winning the election, and he wanted to sabotage that. All he has to do is come out and support her. Basically, he can literally pull the trigger on any person that he doesn't like by supporting them in order to get progressives and Democrats to vote against the person that he supported. It's like, it's crazy, because you're giving these people so much power over you. Why? I mean, it's absolutely insane. But that's what's happening. So, of course, this is convenient for Gwen here, because she likes the guilt by association. That's what this whole thread is. Okay, it's guilt by association. And this is really convenient for her. But I'm just saying, like, if you, just because you name websites and, like, people, Andrew Anglin supported Gamergate, I guess, or let's say that he did. Let's say that he did. What if the only reason why he did it was because he wanted to ruin Gamergate? Or what if the only reason why he did it was because he knew that if he did, people like you would come out and give Gamergate more attention? And by extension, him. Because I know that the Daily Stormer has jumped on several bandwagons when they were an active website, so that people would go to their website. So they were doing it to they're essentially creating bait, and people are taking the bait every single time. So, all right, but anyway, let's move on. Even, I don't know who this is, Dr. Earth, R asterisk asterisk F. I don't know if you guys know who that is. Let me know in the comments. Albert Nader gives us $2 or $5 Canadian, says, if you were David Duke, there would be a lot of annoyed rednecks. Yeah, I know, because I get it because I'm not white. Even Ralph, maybe, I'll just say Ralph, I'm not really sure, it's the only word that makes sense, who clearly took inspiration from his emerging new misogynist driven culture of pro-terror millennial white supremacy, was uncomfortable with the skyrocketing levels of murderously violent attitudes towards women the new misogynists brought with them. Right. Okay. I should have made like a buzzword list for this, because there's a lot of buzzwords in here. And you have to be careful. You have to know this, because one thing that progressives, their greatest weapon is words. It's their greatest weapon. And it is, and their power over language makes it nearly impossible to argue against them if you aren't aware of what they're doing. You have to understand that. So, new misogynist, made up. Pro-terror millennial white supremacy, made up. You really have to prove these things. And they're just saying it. They're just saying it. Like, they invent new words and they just go with it. It's all about, like, the ends justify the means, right? Even as he rallied against the supposed evils of miscegenation in his manifesto, he tempered it with a plea to his fellow white supremacists to chill out when it came to rhetoric around white women and in interracial relationships. So you're saying he's a white knight? That's what you're saying. He actually supports women. He just supports his women. Just like you guys support men, as long as it's not white men, and then after that, you don't support men. So it's really like you have a... Well, no, I'm sorry. Let me do this again. He supports women. He just supports his women. Fine. You only support women if they believe as you believe. Because if they don't, then they're the enemy. They have to be feminist women. And that's it. Only feminist women get support. And even then, it's conditional that, you know, you remain as woke as she is, because she is the purest feminist. And if you, like, falter from that, you're the enemy. Like, it's just, it's got to be miserable to be a friend of yours. It's got to be miserable to be an acquaintance of yours. All right. Ralph closed the anti-black portion of his manifesto by far its longest section with this appeal. Quote, I have noticed a great disdain for race mixing, white women within the white nationalist community, bordering on insanity. I don't know, like, what's going on here. These women are victims and they can be saved. Stop. Yes, that is sexist against those women because, like most white knights, he's going under the assumption that those women don't have a choice and they don't have agency. It's not even that much anti-white so much as it's anti, well, in a way, it's anti-woman. It's a white knight thing. It's basically the only thing that I would consider to be toxic masculinity, is assuming that women cannot make decisions based on their own, like, you know, ability to do so. So you're taking away their adulthood, essentially, by doing that. Also, the only thing to me is that this proves something that I think we all know. The idea of white nationalism is, it's a fantasy. I mean, it's not going to happen. Like, the alt-right just doesn't have it. Even the white ethno-state proponents in the alt-right do not have the power to ever make that a reality. And one of the reasons is because white people in general are okay with, if not in favor of, multicultural societies. It's what they want. So you literally have to put people against their own nature. And this is the reason, what I mean by that is they have the lowest in-group preference of any race. Whites have the lowest in-group preference. Yes, I mean even conservative whites. And liberal, or not liberal, leftist whites, they have a negative, okay? They have a negative in-group preference within their own race. So the white ethno-state thing, it's just never going to happen. You might as well just move to Poland and try to get in, because it's never going to happen. This is why I don't care about what the white nationalists are doing. I just don't. Because they're never going to get it done. So, okay, that timeline. So the May of 2014, Isla Vista shootings by new misogynist Elliot Rodger. 2014, that's August, Gamergate, the start of Bannon, Milo, and Daily Stormer's recruitment of its new misogynist membership into white supremacist communities. And then, June of 2015, Daily Stormer reader Dylan Roof's Charleston murders. Let me be very clear. The Nazi intellectual alt-right proper has existed for at least a decade. Bannon's alt-right is his arranged marriage of violent accelerationists, new misogynists, and Nazis, and is singularly responsible for a present wave of white supremacist murder sprees. Has anyone ever, like, looked into why Dylan Roof did what he did? What his life was like? I think he was a troubled kid, personally. But Albert Nader gives me $5 Canadian. Thank you, Albert. And he says, that's why I'm a great weapon. I'm left of the fence with a Republican sense of humor. And I can toss a mean word salad. Richard says, but doesn't feminism already take agency and adulthood away from women already? Yeah, that's why I'm saying that. The stuff that Andrew Anglin is taught, or not Andrew Anglin, but this Roof guy or Ralph or whoever it is that, maybe it's Dylan Roof they're talking about. Maybe. I don't know. It doesn't matter. She didn't asterisk his name. So what that guy is saying, he's making a feminist argument. They're victims. They need to be helped. I'm saying he's white knighting in the same way. The feminists can't, if they really thought about it, they're not that much different from white nationalists. White nationalists are doing what they're doing. They're just doing it in the other direction. That's why I don't, like, when people try to make a differentiation between these, like, white ethno-state proponent dudes that, like, are, they're gentlemen's to women, they're feminists in their own way, they just, you know, they want to protect them, they just expect that they act a certain way. It's no different from what feminists do. They just have a whole other approach. They're just anti all the stuff that the white nationalists are for, but they still put women in the victim class, and they still also expect women to act a certain way. It just runs counter. That's all. It's like, they're not doing anything Progressive. It's a mirror. That's where the mirror is. So, all right. So the Nazi intellectual alt-right proper has existed for at least a decade. Bannon's alt-right is an arranged marriage of violent accelerationists, new misogynists, and Nazis, and is singularly responsible for a present wave of white supremacist murder sprees. All right. That's got nothing to do with men, but whatever. French Honey Badger gives us $10 and says, if Duke came out in support for Clinton or Biden, I bet you that the media would try to bury it. They expose it with Tulsi because the media want her to drop out of the race because she's anti-war. I agree, but I'm not talking about the media's response. I'm talking about the average voter, the average leftist voter person. A person who is basically like, oh, you know, I'm a progressive. I'm on the left. I kind of like Tulsi Gabbard. She seems reasonable, whatever. Because of their guilt by association mentality, if David Duke came out and supported it because they tried to use that against Trump, they claimed that Duke had, you know, came out and endorsed Trump, and Trump had to disavow him multiple times, and he's there, and they're still connecting him to it. And so they know it works. It's like this guy is sticky. So they're just trying to use it. I'm not talking about the media, though. I'm talking about voters. Progressive voters. They may have a preference. Like, I don't think they like Hillary Clinton, but I think that that's the reason why this works as a tactic. Or it may work. It may not. People, I think, are probably getting tired of this. The Great Indoors gives us €5 and says, while you are streaming this, a Dutch talk show has a group of five female feminists talking over each other on the topic of a woman quota in boardrooms. That's funny. Richard Bier says, Brian Martinez, a lot of early feminists and suffragettes were racists and segregationists as well. Well, yeah, sure. I know that. That was another thing that is true about the Red Dead Redemption. They never bring that up. They just make them sound like basically as angelic as possible. So they literally like rewrote history. They just left shit out. And the problem is that people who play Red Dead Redemption 2, they don't know their history, and they're just going to walk away thinking that's true. So hopefully they don't, but they might. Anyway, when we assess the impact of Bannon's evil, we can't forget his chillingly callous decision to populate Trump's base and Bannon's white nationalist movement with an online culture of misogynist accelerationists already high and gleeful off their first perpetrated mass killing. What? I'm going to need evidence for that. Everyone wants to know where acceleration Nazi terror came from. It came from Bannon's decision to hypercharge his lukewarm, fringe little collection of pseudo-intellectual white nationalists with the heady terrorism and violence of new misogynistic online communities. It's really interesting because she can't give real, like, solid evidence of what supposedly Bannon did. It's just that he hypercharged some people with his words, his rhetoric. And I noticed that progressives use that argument all the time. They use it for Trump. They use it for MRAs. They use it for whoever. Whoever they want to demonize, they say, this person uses rhetoric that affects the world. And I think it's actually a really good example of the level of their projection. Because what progressives are saying is they believe that words lead to action. They lead to violence. They lead to real world effects. They can shape people. And the reason why they believe it is because they believe that all human beings are the same, and the only thing that changes them are the way that we nurture good ideas or bad ideas. And so if you nurture more bad ideas in their mind, you create bad people. And people don't have the ability to distinguish what is right and wrong without that outside intervention of someone's words. And the reason why they believe it is because they have to believe it. Because if they don't, then they have to accept that human nature is an enormous obstacle that they have to overcome. And I think that another reason they believe it to be true is because it's what they do. When you go to school and everyone bombards you with propaganda in an attempt to essentially shape your worldview, and most of this comes from feminism, if not all of it, then that gives them power. That's why they want, they're in the schools, because they know. And the end, you can see it in, I saw a debate. It was on Jubilee, this YouTube channel, and it was a discussion between feminists and MRAs. It was cringe because there was this like guy on the MRA side. He was like an incel or something. I never heard of him before. He basically just like was a hand grenade in the entire conversation. Like, I don't know what the fuck he was doing there. But anyway, I'm trying to get him on. My boy, Christoph Petgaus, who I've had on the show a couple times, he was on the panel as well. And at one point, another dude that was on the panel, an Asian guy, he asked the feminist, what is it that a man looks like? Like, where do you want to go? Like, what do you want men to be when you feel like you have your way? And she said, it starts when they're really young. And that essentially what we need to do is condition men to not be bad men, right? Essentially what she's saying is that. And I believe she's completely honest. You know, she was young enough to not realize the gravity of what she's saying, but this is what feminists do. They want to socially construct masculinity and femininity to match their view so that they can create a utopian society that matches everything that they want. And they believe that that can be done. And the reason why is because they feel like they have to, because there's no plan B. It's just condition, right? It's all they can do. And so because they believe it to be true, they also believe that someone who's bringing out a counter narrative is extremely dangerous to that. So she believes that she can make the case that Bannon hypercharges a lukewarm fringe collection of pseudo-intellectual white nationalists and turn them into mass murderers with words, because they believe that that's what they can do. So it's projection at the highest level. Centrists want to blame Trump, but voting Trump out won't fix this. Trump was just one of a number of hugely successful Bannon-driven ploys to mainstream explicit far-right white nationalist politics in the United States. It's tempting to say, I don't know that Bannon is that much of a George Soros figure, but okay. It's tempting to say, all this is terrible. Thank God that Bannon is gone. We just have to weather the storm. Except this isn't a story of Bannon's genius. It's largely a story of Bannon's failure and hubris. Bannon wanted a populist white nationalist movement. No, he just wanted a populist movement. I've never heard him talk about race. If you guys think he has, tag me in a comment and explain. But I've never heard it. I saw him. He was interviewed by Sargon. I didn't hear anything about whiteness. I didn't see anything with him hanging out with Jared Taylor. I didn't see any of that. He wanted a populist white nationalist movement he could control, built around a manipulatable ethic of national identity-based white working class solidarity that groups like Matt Heimbach's Traditionalist Worker Movement aim to create. Ooh, Traditionalist Worker Movement? Sounds like a socialist movement to me. Advocating for the workers? Oh, well, maybe they'll figure it out one day. Bannon's ambitions extended far beyond Trump's presidency, and he entertained a brief 2015 to 2017 era of significant influence before his career tanked after the events of Unite the Right in Charlottesville. Trump doesn't fire people for being white supremacists. Just look at Stephen Miller. Trump fires them for weakness. Unite the Right in Charlottesville showed that Bannon had wholly lost control of his own creation. So what you're saying is the Unite the Right rally that got, when it got someone killed, that was not what Bannon had in mind? Seems weird. I thought he was like in favor of murders. Bannon had attempted to manufacture a populist white nationalist movement, a base whose sense of economic disenfranchisement he could manipulate and use to push isolationist immigration and economic policy in accordance with the desires of his billionaire patrons, the Mercers. Okay, whatever. I'm waiting to the part to like, where does the men's rights come into this? Because you basically said this is a new misogyny thing. And I wonder, is she going to say that because Heather Heyer died at Charlottesville, it's misogyny? And I think that in a way, just to be fair, logically, it does make sense that feminists believe that people who are not in line with their views are misogynist. So when I say not in line, I mean they're not just overtly anti-feminist, because there are people who are overtly anti-feminist, obviously, like me, but there are people who are just not feminist. And that goes back to what I was saying before. You're either pro whatever it is they believe, or you're against, even if you don't say anything, even if you're indifferent, even if you're on the fence, even if you say, well, you know, I'm not real. Look, I mean, I'm all for women having equality, but I wouldn't call myself a feminist. She would say, oh, well, you're part of the problem, right? You're a misogynist. And so because the thing is that when it comes to wanting to protect women, just that on its face, I don't think there's a difference between the alt-right or feminism, because that's what they both do. And yeah, I think they prioritize it. The only difference is the alt-right are wrestling with their masculine identity, and feminists just want to crush masculine identity and destroy it. And so that's the only difference. I think that alt-righters can be saved, actually, from that. And many have. A lot of them that were going down the rabbit hole, down that path, when they found Jordan B. Peterson, for example, he said, you know, many testimonies of guys that were going alt-right that left. So Albert Nada, version 2.0, gives us $2 Canadian and says, Maxine Waters harassed the right. Okay. Thanks for that. I don't know what that means. All right. Anyway, what he had ham-handedly managed to create, though, was a rabidly violent and resentful online warren of extremists increasingly interested in a strain of bloodthirsty fascism that renounced electoral solutions and extolled books preaching that Charles Manson hadn't gone far enough. Yeah, I'm going to need proof of that. And, you know, sometimes people shitpost in real life, and it just makes you look like a stupid ass. So Black Knight Fool gives us $2 Canadian, says, Brian, it's just men and masculinity that equals Nazism. Yeah, I know. Events in Charlottesville gave lie to Bannon's pretense of creating a broad, unified white nationalist alt-right, exposing the tenuousness of relationships between patriot movement militiaites, the MAGA crowd, post-skinheads like Proud Boys, and emerging fascist accelerationism. The Proud Boys are composed of like men of all different races, dude. Are you talking about Gavin McGinnis, the guy who was one of the founders of Vice that started the Proud Boys? Are you talking about the Cuban dude that like runs the Proud Boys? You know, being against immigration has nothing to do with race. You know that, right? It doesn't have to, anyway. The patriot... This is, again, more word salad. Look, the tenuousness of relationships between patriot movement militiaites. What does that mean? What is the patriot movement? It sounds like it's I'd like to know more. Post-skinheads, that you're just making shit up at this point. The MAGA crowd, people who want to make America great, they're just Trump supporters. Sometimes they're just cringe. I've seen some cringe MAGA people. It's sort of like, look, I get it. You support the president, but calm the fuck down. Please don't make rap videos about it. Please don't. It's cringe. But other than being corny, they're harmless for the most part. She doesn't care, right? They're emerging fascist accelerationism. Fascism was a left-wing ideology. I'm just going to say it right now, because it was. So no, it's not. Those events in 2017 left the Bannon-style civic nationalists like Proud Boys and Identity Europa vulnerable and embattled. even as the violence bolstered the spirits of those who popularized or populated black-pilled nihilist forums like Iron March and use 8chan as a radicalization site. I'm just going to keep going because she's not saying anything I care about. It's a really long-winded way of like trying to essentially make some claim that essentially if you're not a feminist man, then you're a Nazi. So, and if you are a feminist man, then you're just a Nazi that's trying to reform. This burgeoning Nazi accelerationist culture advocated lone wolf mass murder suicide, praised the Unite the Right murder, fanboyed the terrorist activities of the Iron March spawned Adam Waffen, I don't even know what that is, and sainted and started podcast named for Charleston shooter Dylan Roof. Far more than nearly all other white supremacists and nationalist groups, the Nazi accelerationist movement is defined by its glorification of mass murder and sexual violence, its leaders assuming pseudonyms like rape and declaring that no political solution is possible. Where Bannon championed populist electoral strategy, Nazi accelerationists... Oh God, this is... takes so long to read her shit because she keeps dropping these word. This is, and I think this is another tactic, you know, you keep repeating the same buzzwords and it becomes normalized. I think that's on purpose. You watch some Yuri Bezmenov if you don't know what I'm talking about. Nazi accelerationists advocate a total destruction of the social order. Manson's Helter Skelter, what they term boogaloo. Sparked by individual terrorist acts of mass violence. I don't know what like electric boogaloo? What are you talking about? The Pittsburgh synagogue shootings, the Poway murders, the Christchurch massacre, the El Paso Walmart spree, the Army bomber plot. Each of these supposed lone wolf incidents are the direct product of this organized online world. No, you're asking the wrong questions, of course. You should be asking yourself, why is there this much nihilism? I think that if you take a man from birth and you erode his identity and you take away his family and you isolate him and you continue to demonize him just for being born a man, that is the reason why you get this. You are causing mass shootings and then blaming men for mass shootings. I'd like to see who this like mastermind is. It's not, apparently it's not Steve Bannon. It's not Donald Trump. So it's something else. It goes higher, dudes. It goes all the way to the top. All the way to the top. This is the reason why I want the a meme of this person's head on the guy from It's Always Sunny doing the, you know, conspiracy theory thing with all the rope, the all the string and shit, because that's what this is to me. Gwen Snyder's Uncivil continues. It's a world that's organized yet loosely structured around atomized leaderships with undefined membership bases. It's a hydra with no clear head. Woof, projection be thy name. One that shows open contempt for formal organization or official leaders like Trump. Yeah, they actually, you're right, the alt-right isn't crazy about Trump. They're not. So how is he part of the problem? When? That doesn't make any sense. Call it online Nazi acceleration. Call it terror telegram. Call it Gen Z and millennial white supremacist terrorism. Just don't call it the alt-right. The alt-right, as Bannon defined it, existed only just long enough to spawn this culture of terror and then disappeared. Okay. How much more text is there? Dude, this is like the longest Twitter thread I've ever seen. She literally has, I think it's like 50 posts. 50 responses. We're almost at the end though, I think. We're almost at the end. Pretty sure I've gotten pretty far. So, did Brian refer to Yuri Bezmenov in a bad way or a good way? No, I think Yuri Bezmenov is great. I think that we should have listened. We should have listened, guys. To Yuri Bezmenov, to our own peril. So, okay. We have to address it for what it is. And that means addressing it as an online terrorist movement spawned by and now completely beyond the control or influence of billionaire-funded, callow Republican operatives. So the, you know, the Republicans created the monster, but now it's lost control and they don't know what to do and all that. To contain this threat, we have to quarantine it, deplatforming it in the direction of more and more obscure social networks, isolating it from the populations it seeks to infect. Its core members seek to inspire, not actually be lone wolf killers. In isolation, they'll fall. Dude, you are, this is a mistake. This is, you're going to make the, like, if people were to actually follow that, it would make things way worse. We just need, but these guys shouldn't be allowed to, like, gather in this, like, little small far corner of the internet where they can radicalize each other. We need to atomize them even more. We need to, like, censor them, deplatform them, and remove them even more. And as long as they get completely atomized, completely isolated, then at the very least, we don't have to deal with them if they just kill themselves. Because then we won't know about it. This is how heartless these people can be. This is what evil looks like. Inoculation is critical too. Andrew Yang is a total dick for suggesting that the solution to violent white supremacy is allocating even more resources towards the education of boys while overlooking girls. But education around hate, its roots, and its history is vital. See? Scumbag. This person is a fucking scumbag. Did you just call Gwen Snyder dude? Oh, yeah. No, I didn't assume her gender, but dude is now, I thought it was like gender neutral. So she's basically saying that Andrew Yang, who is a Democrat, is the wrong kind of Democrat because he thinks that we can educate boys better. But she's like, no, you need to educate girls. They're already getting a superior education. The fact that we are, and look, I will tell you this. I'm the first one that will say that public schools are garbage, because they are. Public schools are trash, okay? But they're more trash for boys. Because we don't even cater our education around boyhood or masculinity at all. But she doesn't like that. This woman is a piece of shit. This woman is a piece of fucking trash, okay? Hygiene is also always necessary to stop the spread of infection. Through direct action and public pressure, we do need to force social media companies to address their platform's poor hygiene, their tendency to breed and facilitate the spread of violent extremism. Again, she's saying we got to censor them. We got to remove them. We got to kick them out. We got to block them, whatever. This is a bad idea. She has no plan for men except to destroy them. She just wants to destroy them. If they're in the way, if they believe the wrong things, if they're questioning, if they're not overtly supportive of her worldview, they are the enemy and they should be destroyed. This woman is evil. This is what it looks like. This is what I mean. She uses nice words, I guess. She uses a bunch of made up ones too. If this person was talking, they would sound just like Destiny Vosh and what's the guy's name that debated Jordan Peterson on political correctness, Michael Eric Dyson. Like, you know, they know their thesaurus, they know their fucking synonyms, you know, but they're really, really angry. Like, angry on the inside. This woman she hates men. The DCV Titan gives us $5 Canadian and says, this tweet thread is a wave of neural diarrhea with similar consistency. She should be in an asylum. Yes, this is a crazy person. French Honey Badger gives us $2 and says, she sees men as a disease and she is the cure. Exactly. Hygiene, inoculation. Exactly. All of these tactics and strategies are important in the short term, but ultimately they're just containment strategies. Until we combat structural misogyny, racism, and economic injustice, our culture will still be a welcoming petri dish for violent white supremacist terror. This is an unwinnable fight. Combat structural misogyny, racism, and economic injustice. Because there is no structural misogyny, racism, or economic injustice. You're basically creating dragons so that you can claim to slay them. You know? It's completely self-interested and absolutely delusional. So, we can't lose sight of the lessons Bannon's role in creating the Frankenstein monster of online Nazi accelerationism or what his role signifies. The Great Indoor gives us €2 and says, Gwen or Gwenda, no plan from outer safe space. We have to set up safeguards against the billionaires who would fund opportunists in the creation of a terrorist movement for short-term political gain. We have to think critically about what it means so that they can buy elections and about the terrible impacts of those purchases. We have to confront the fact that the party running in opposition to the Bannons and Mercers of our country runs candidates unwilling to take meaningful action to circumvent their influence or counter the rising tide of economic inequality breeding deep, exploitable resentment. Okay? We must deal with the reality that these same politicians are too craven to take action against the social media and tech companies that profit from creating worlds where disinformation and extremism spread like wildfire, and ask them and ourselves hard questions. What does this have to do with Grand Theft Auto and video games again? French Honey Badger says for $5, if you're not a communist, you're a Nazi, misogynist that hates the poor. Yep. DCV Titan gives us $2 Canadian, says, did she just call out Soros and Antifa? I'm pretty sure that she sides with them. I wouldn't be surprised. Oh, you're talking about the party that runs in opposition to the Bannons and Mercers? No, she's basically saying that the Democrats in the United States are like, it's like the Young Turks argument. They're like corporate bought shills. Essentially, they're not revolutionary enough. They're not extreme enough. They're too much like the establishment. They actually make the same arguments that the alt-right guys, the Groypers, and other sort of like paleo conservative types make about the Republican Party's rhinos and corporate Republicans, essentially saying the people in our party aren't extreme enough. They're not revolutionary enough. They're not taking a hard stance. They're too spineless. They're too cowardly. And what she's basically saying is that we need violent revolution. That's what she's saying. So we must deal with the reality that these same politicians, I already read that. Where was I? They're too craven to take action against social media and tech companies that profit from creating worlds where disinformation and extremism spread like wildfire, and ask them and ourselves hard questions. Because if we don't change our political reality, all of the containment in the world won't prevent this from happening again the very next time a Rebecca Mercer teams up with Steve Bannon to play social engineer with devastating, murderous results. See, exactly. Play social engineer. When you believe that people can be socially engineered, then you believe that all of your enemies are social engineers just like you. But the fact is, she's not up against just a social construct. It's not just that. And it's this feminist playing God with children's minds that's actually creating all these problems. And, you know, it's terrible. The DCV Titan gives us $2 Canadian, says, I meant more her line of billionaire funding. Ah, I don't know. She's projecting really hard, though. And in the meantime, children will keep dying quietly in the shadows of the policy and economic victories the hyper wealthy buy at the cost of human life. The cost of the lives lost not just to terrorism, but to racism, poverty, and gendered violence. She's a communist, I'll tell you that right now, as feminists typically are. The only thing I wonder about is which came first. It's a chicken or egg argument. I think Allison believes that feminism is older than socialism. I think that that's right. I think that it is true. But what I'm wondering about is, even though it's older, do feminists use feminism to bring about communism? Because, I mean, this woman is a crazy socialist, so that's for sure. End thread. And Jesus Christ, two terror attacks have occurred in the space of me writing this thread. That's the end of her thread. Look at how long it is. Holy crap. So two terrorist attacks happened in the space of her writing this thread. One of them, I don't know what the other one is. This was from November 29th, okay? One of them was this London terrorist attack. You know, the stabbing attack that happened? I wouldn't say that has anything to do with white supremacy I don't know that that's like a good thing to try to point out. But Gwen is absolutely insane. And by the way, this London terror attack that happened, it's a shame, but there were men there to stop it. Oh, and Den Haag, that's right. There was another attack, Den Haag. But I don't know, man. Doesn't seem very narratively convenient for the feminist narrative of white supremacy and whiteness being the enemy. So I don't know that I would have gone with that. But, you know, Gwen, you do you. I mean, you are exposing the truth, which is that Gwen herself doesn't just not like white men. She doesn't like men at all. It's just that white men come first. Like, if she could take the men out to be shot and executed or, you know, re-educated through brainwashing, the white men would be first, but the other men would be in line. So it's not really just a problem with white men. It's not even really a problem with whites. It's a problem with men. The white men thing works because a lot of other people who belong to various other kinds of advocacy groups that don't prioritize feminism, they will take on the narrative that they'll be more likely to take on the narrative of white men being the bad guys because they're white, but ultimately it's really not about that. So, and yes, the London attack was literally a Muslim attack. Literally. And it was a bunch of other men that stopped it. So, all right. So what was the response? I know that we've gone for a little over an hour. I'm going to end it here. I want to get you guys' thoughts on this insane thread. I did put a link to it in the description. I know that this person is basically a nobody, but I had to see. By the way, she could not prove at all. And I mean, not that I'm surprised by this, how being a pickup artist is connected to mass shootings and like a Muslim knife stabbing that happened in London Bridge. Like you can't connect Roosh V to that. You can't even connect Steve Bannon to that. You can't connect anything. You can't connect Grand Theft Auto to that. Like, I don't see how you could do that. Well, whatever. she has not proved anything. All she did is say a bunch of shit and make overt correlations that were all a reach. I mean, it was all of this is a reach. But what did the other people on Twitter think? Remember, she's being followed by Jared Holt, so she's probably got a lot of followers that are like, you know, they would side with her, I would imagine. So, okay, so Sonazen says, holy shit, I read through this entire thread, and what fucking drugs are you on? Because I want to stay far, far away from those since they cause you to think the way that you do. Yes. Oh, good stuff. This thread took me a literal minute to scroll to the end of. He didn't even read it. He just scrolled. Teal Deer, not the Teal Deer in the chat. Teal Deer, I blame video games for all problems. Yeah, it's fucking retarded, isn't it? All this, and you can still only blame others. Sad. Sad. French Honey Badger gives $10 and says, socialism has been pushed since at least antiquity, and they didn't really push it to protect women. In fact, they pushed free love instead. Yeah, I wonder, though, because, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. Thanks for telling me that. I just wonder which, it's a chicken or egg thing. I was just curious about that. But I think that it's actually really useful to get women to side with you because women are more likely to vote for socialist policies than men. And the reason is because, of course, you're tapping into their instincts, you know. So I think it can be a deadly weapon. And when you take the father out of the home, when you destroy the nuclear family, it's even easier to get women to vote for those protections based on their instincts because there's no man around. So. Hot damn, a 50 post thread. That's definitely a record longest I've seen and I don't really care about. And of course, Gwen, who's not happy. Weird, it seems like you really do care. I saw a quote retweet of someone laughing about this, looked at it, saw it was long, and decided to count how many tweets in the thread, which was 50. I didn't read a single tweet, nor do I really care to. It was just a fucking long-ass thread, and I decided to comment that it was long. I mean, that's a bit spurgy to be like, how many? But I'm not going to read them. I'm just going to count them. She, stay mad. Hoes mad. Hoes mad. Be right back. Giving myself vaccines so I can be autistic enough to understand your post. Oh my god. Jason Scotch Tape on Presence Brazil. I'm following this guy. I love that. Thank you. Oh man. Anyway. Dang, Gwen, you wrote the shit out of this one. Hard eyes, who cares? Video game, bad. I hate my wife, book good. What? Seek therapy. Too long, didn't read. Sorry, your post, too many words, and I know read. Sleep, oh. I don't even get that meme, whatever. This cat. Yeah, I feel the same way. Boomer. K, boomer. Oh, I love this one. Whoa, nigga, you really expect me to read all that shit by you? I just did that, though. I read all of it. I read it for you guys. I did it for you. That's how much I care about this channel. It was like nothing going on. Allison's not quite back yet. And I couldn't get a guest for today. So I was like, you know what? Somebody sent me this fucking thread. I'm going to go online live and read the whole fucking thing. You're welcome. Yeah, so, oh yeah, here's Anime Moon, who has been on the show before. Basically, he just explains that the FBI released a report on Gamergate that debunks all of the stupid bullshit. I wonder if somebody started fighting with him. Who cares? Kick a football. Oh, okay. Okay, Pete. I don't like it when people actually refute arguments. He's like, you need to get out in the sun. Nigga, this guy only put one post. This bitch put down 50. Who needs to get out and see more sun? Who needs to get out and kick a football? Really? Jesus Christ, I bet you're a delight at parties. Oh, okay. This guy Calvinist is apparently like he's the white knight for what's her name? He's the white knight for her, Gwen. Because he's like responding to people and making fun of them. Separated at birth? I like this. Vincent here has got a good sense of humor. That's actually kind of funny. Gonna steal that right quick. See, that's the way you respond to that when people make fun of you. It just becomes wholesome. I thought that was pretty good, dude. He probably hates that. That's some Christian fucking wholesomeness right there. You ascribed the terrorism to the new misogyny strand, but was this strand itself offline violent in 4chan's pre-2014 tits or get the fuck out days? I don't know. I'm not ready for an internet history lesson. Point is, people disagreeing with you is not a terror attack. But if you are into social constructivism and you believe that everything is words and everything is about like what people say to other people and spreading ideas online, then... okay, so let me look and see if I got more super chats, and then I think I'm gonna wrap up the show. So, no more super chats, but I'll scroll from the last super chat through and see if there's anything interesting that you guys said, and then I'll wrap this up. To be frank, I also blame video games for all of our problems. I think that they're different problems, but I know I get what you're saying. I don't think it's the video games. I think they're maybe more like a symptom of another problem. But Brian should check his Twitter DMs. Yeah, I know. I'll look at it later. Whatever. Oh, somebody sent me something. Oh, thank you, Ken. Sorry, I didn't know you were actually going to do that. Yeah, there we go. that's good. If we ban video games, true patriarchy will be reasserted. If that were true, I'd ban them immediately. Richard Beer says, feminists want to usher in socialism and communism as long as they take control over the government. Of course, somebody, you got to put the right people in charge, and the right people should be the wokest people. So, but you know what that's going to come down to? is in the communist utopia, the temporary dictator, I mean, figurehead, is going to be a, it's got to be a trans woman, a disabled trans woman of color that runs things, because that's the wokest person, you know, and they should also be non-binary, trans and non-binary. And maybe they're covered in tattoos. I don't know if that's a thing now, but I think having tattoos is another gender or something. That's pure autism right there. Yes. There's a correlation between heterosexuality, masculinity, and family values and genetic income bias. Absolutely. I agree. That was a glorious comment. I love it. Be right back. Gonna steal that meme. Definitely steal it. Oh, Steve-O is a sleep-o. I get it. The left constantly attacks whites specifically, and if we got people here making excuses for them to disguise their anti-whiteness as being only misandry. No, it is mostly misandry. The point of it is, Saint Friendship, to keep you fighting with men of other races. But when you recognize that the problems that we are having are more so about gender than race, and that you could, like, if everyone, okay, let me put it this way. If everyone either had the freedom to live a happy life in the way that they want without interference by social constructivists, whether that is starting a family or just being married to someone happily and not having a family, or being single or living as a bachelor, then nobody would be concerning themselves with racial politics, because they would be too busy enjoying their personal life. All right. Where was I? 50 posts wouldn't even cover the introduction of these academic papers. Well, effectively, that was an academic paper, I guess. That's another thing I was wondering about. Why did Gwen Snyder do all of that on Twitter? Like, this is like, this, what? Okay. Outside has terrible frame rates and lousy FOV. I'm waiting for the next patch. Oh, that's good. Okay. When you put all of your experience points into autism, yeah, really. Okay. Well, anyway, I'm going to wrap up the show. Again, let me know what you guys think about, this woman's ramblings. And yes, it's a woman. She's got she, her pronouns. I don't know, like, how absolutely insane her other tweets are. I don't want to know. I just, like, briefly looked, but yeah, she is definitely not normal. So with that said, I'm gonna wrap up the show. Thanks guys for coming on. Hit that like button, subscribe if you're not already subscribed, hit the bell for notifications, and leave me a comment. Let me know what you guys think about this, and I will talk to you guys very soon. Tomorrow I'll see you guys tomorrow on the next news show. Good night, everybody.